Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. I'm Don Stover.
And I'm, by the way, Jan Stover. This is episode 282.
And this is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette. There you go.
That it is on Sunday, June the 24th, 2018. And we have a special guest in the studio.
Special.
Yes. Two special guests. One at the mic. One supporting the gentleman at the mic.
Well, yeah, he has his own rooting crew.
He does. So we'll just go ahead and introduce who he is, Don.
Keith Ford, yay!
Yay!
And Amanda Ford Marshall, yay!
Amanda Marshall Ford.
Yeah, we'll
get
this
backwards.
Right.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Well, for folks that have never heard of Keith, they haven't read enough Owl Creek Gazettes.
Or they haven't read far enough back into
the
history.
There you go, because you've been with us a long time.
I think starting about your second year, I think.
I think so. Tell us how you found out about us, and then we'll go from there.
Well, shortly after the love of my life and I met and started dating, she was perusing some of my articles in Backwoodsman.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, there's a magazine up at home that's kind of like this. It's called Owl Creek Gazette. What? Really? Okay, so, you know, I think her dad had a copy, and he gave it to me. I looked at it. I said, we'll ride by and check it out or make contact. So I think I sent you an email.
You did, uh-huh.
And, you know, you're kind of cold in the email. Non-committal.
Just like we are with everyone.
I was going to say, I've never been called cold in my email before.
That's okay. Let's move on from there.
So then next trip up, I think we came to visit. You were down the road.
Mm-hmm. And we right had a storefront then.
Yeah. Yeah. And Amanda got kind of miffed because I wouldn't let her come in when I first walked in. I said, well, you know, in case I crash and burn, I don't want you crying.
He's got all kinds of good stories he's sharing here today so far, isn't he?
I mean, 5.5 years, more or less. Every day has been an adventure.
And well, life is good. In and around
life
all
is
the,
good.
Yeah, in and around all the trials and tribulations.
Oh, yeah, but see, you know, that's the thing. Most people get, you know, oh, I ain't going my way. They whine and cry. You got to laugh about it, make a joke about it,
mm-hmm.
You know. And, of course, we have so many adventures because, you know, she's sort of an indoor type of girl. I'm not.
No, you are not. You are a woodsman and outdoorsman in every sense of the word. And when we got to meet face-to-face, we got to talking and found out all the different things that you have done and were interested in, we said, well, not only an article, how about a regular article, which eventually evolved into a column.
Mm-hmm.
But, guys, when you first started, some of the topics we were thinking back, the very first article you wrote for us was on your
cordage.
From your yucca plant. Yes.
Yes.
And, I learned from experience, because it was July or August when I do everything that I write about. So it's not like I dream it up. Oh, this should be good. I do it. And I have some, you know, stuff kind of bombed on me. But with making the cordage from the yucca fibers, you know, I was rolling it down my leg to get it all twisted up and make a cord. I found out it's a great way to remove hair from your legs. I offered to let Amanda try it, and she wouldn't have no part of it.
Just make your rope, honey, and leave me alone. But that was interesting because, like you said, not only was it making rope, but it was cordage. It was making it from the yucca plant. So it was a whole different thought process, mm-hmm. I think, for the average person to think, where does rope come from?
Well, yeah.
Well, you can make it.
People don't think about using switchgrass to make rope. Or mm-hmm. Anything that is a long fiber is candidate number one to make cordage to do something else with.
And there's so many things like nettles, you know, which grows wild, and there's very different, very many different forms of nettles. But the basic nettle plant makes some very nice fiber. Yeah, just as good as some of the hemp fiber that I've mm-hmm. had in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you've got any inkling of how fibers are managed, you know, even from whenever people would just chew the fiber,
yeah,
you know, to soften it, to make it malleable.
Well, the I won't say acids, but the components in saliva.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
it breaks down the fiber.
Retz is what it calls. I think it's spelled R-E-T-T-S, Retz. Maybe there's an H in there. Or is that Rhett Butler? Anyhow.
Maybe Rhett Butler did some of that one back in the day.
He, you know, and he doesn't give a darn.
No. And they turn curtains into a dress. So
yes.
Why not?
And for all the younger people, they're like,
what?
What?
What are you talking about?
Anyhow. Watch Gone with the Wind, absolutely, the original version, the mm-hmm. whole 3.5 hours.
Worth every minute.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. if you ever watch National Geographic at any point in time, you would have seen at least somebody out there chewing on some long fibers in mm-hmm. order to mm-hmm. turn it into clothing. Mm-hmm. And that was part of what they did. That's how it's done. Now you can take those same long fibers and beat them with a stick or beat them with a hammer and get much of that same coarseness out.
Yes.
But still you're going to be stripping fibers apart and you're going to be rolling them into cordage. You're mm-hmm. going to be rolling them into something that can be manipulated into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know how to do that, then that's what we're trying to teach, is these old skills have got to be remembered. And if we don't remember the past, then how are we going to be able to go forward in the future?
Right, and our back issues, we have a year plus worth of back issues on the Owl Creek Gazette website at owlcreekgazette.com. Then we also have memberships that people can purchase for $2.99 a month, and that takes you back to having access to all of our issues. So any of our members can go back and just find that article, Keith, that very first one, and read about what you did way back then.
If memory serves me right, that would have been August, around 2013. Yeah, we were living mm-hmm. in the Bavillo crack apartment, right? So that would have been, yeah, and we say this because it's like either Tim Taylor or Tim Allen, whichever mm-hmm. persona you use, or mm-hmm. Bavillo drunk built the staircase going up to the apartment, because as you're walking up, it's swaying.
Ah, memories.
First apartment.
Right. Well, and speaking of more memories, some of the things that you told us when we were trying to remember what all you'd written about, one of them, I think Don came up with the memory of this, was your travoy.
Yes.
So if you want to tell people a little bit about that, too.
Well, the travoy came about before Amanda and I met. I was there at what I call the farm. It's the spot down in Yukon, Missouri. 2.5 acres. There's no cell phone service, nothing. It's great. I love it. And so I was needing to move material around. You know, I'm older. You know, I got hip, knee problems. Don't really like carrying 50-pound bags of food, you know, stuff like that, dog food, rice, you know. I needed something. I was too cheap to go buy what is it?
You could have bought a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, but they were like $40.
Right.
You know what? You know, I can do a lot with $40. So I kept thinking about it, and I had the dog and a big chocolate lab. So I thought, what I need is a travoy. Now, being that it's a French word, they spell it differently than us people from Georgia and Missouri. So it took me a while to track down the correct spelling.
Uh-huh.
Google did not help me. Apple, iPad, spell check. Didn't help me. They're like, what? Got nothing there. But finally found it and got reading about it. I want, because there again, I research everything mm-hmm. and I build it before I ever try to submit it to someone. I said, oh, okay, yeah, I can do this. And so I built this travoy, and I used it to haul all the stuff. I found out I could easily haul like 250 pounds of stuff behind me.
Well, and for people who don't know what a travoy is, how is it different than a wheelbarrow?
Well, a travoy came about with the Plains Indians. It's basically three poles in sort of a triangle. And at the upper end of the triangle, the poles go out past the point. Your handhelds, or since they didn't have horses to begin with, dogs will pull the travoys. Mm-hmm. And then put smaller limbs across it to make a decking. And put their rawhide tent covers on it, because actually some of the tent poles will form the frame of the travoy.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And so, yeah, dried meat, implements, tools, everything packed on. People could pull it, dogs pull it, and then when they got horses, they stole the horses from the Spanish, you know.
Well, you know, I bet a lot of people have seen those in movies when they've watched any kind of Native American movie or documentary.
Westerns, you know.
Westerns, right.
You know, the cowboy that's got the busted leg and they're dragging them along behind the horse. That's right. A travoy.
Right, gotcha.
I saw one of those yesterday.
Yeah.
That's one of my pastimes, is to watch at least one Western on Channel 11. And I managed to do that yesterday morning.
You know, most people will struggle to carry much more than 30 pounds any distance, but with the travoy, you can drag it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, if you get really ambitious, you could put axle on it, put some wheels on it, you know, reduce ground friction. But I tried it. Just the basic travoy is great the way it is, you know, because it drags across, and, you know, there's, because you don't have but just the back end for ground friction.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found out with the dog, with the wheels on it, when she stopped, it would not always stop. It would push her down the slope. So the wheels are not, in this case, not necessarily a good thing.
The brake is always on.
We learned the hard way. And, you know, in the magazine, we often say that we want to share not only our successes, but our failures and strange finds as well, because that's half the fun of it, and it's lessons learned.
Yes.
So.
And then there's something else, too, that the folks that don't remember that we may want to share with them. You happen to know something about the Doomsday Preppers.
Yes. I got this email one day. Of course, I used to write for the paper under my persona,
mm-hmm.
my nom de plume, another French word. You have Black Holiday. And so everything, a lot of my old stuff is all printed in Kindle and everything under the name Black Holiday with two L's. I get this email out of the blue one day from Sharp Entertainment. It said, hey, we read all 17 of your articles. Well, I was kind of miffed. I wrote them back. I said, if you read 17, you haven't read them all. Little did I know the error of my ways by saying that. So they sent me an email back, says, well, how many do you have? It's at least 100. Can you send them? So I put together this big file of all the rough drafts and some photos. And I emailed it to him. It was like 32 megabits of text and pictures. I thought, well, 2-3 days, I didn't hear anything. About day number 5, I get this email. We love them! We want you on our show, Doomsday Preppers. And I've never seen it. Not really heard nothing about it. So me and Amanda was watching it on YouTube that night, first season. I'm like, oh, no way. No, 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 no. I do not want to be associated with people like that. So when they start calling, because I made the mistake of giving them my cell phone number, they start calling them, and then, you know, the first conversation, look, I saw season 1, 2. I don't want to be associated with people like that.
Because you consider yourself more of a just preparedness in general rather than a hardcore prepper? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, Doomsday Prepper, the series, has put this cloud of insanity on,
gotcha.
On people. Like, you know, before preppers, the vogue word was survivalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kurt Saxon, came up with the phrase in the late 60s. And then, you know, some magazines, some publications that just went so far out in left field, they were at the interstate kicking gravel. I did not want that kind of, recognition aimed at
right.
me. So, you know, people say, oh, Keith, you're a prepper. No, I'm just cheap. You know, that's like one day we sat here, we were trying to come up with something else, and so we settled on the combination of self-reliance, self-sufficient, and that's how I look at me. Mm-hmm. You know, why, and that's why I built the Travoy. Why should I go Walmart or somewhere and spend $25 and up for a wheelbarrow when I can make a Travoy that costs me 45 minutes of time?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that leads into one other thing that we all had struggled with, was what was the name of your series? And it was about not being cheap.
Yeah, frugality.
But mm-hmm. being frugal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was 12 or 13 issues and frugality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And different things, different months. You know, I think November and Thanksgiving, we were talking about the biogas generators.
Right.
Right.
Methane generators.
How to get a turkey to cook itself.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, not in the show, we ended up doing an episode, Doomsday Preppers, and one of the three things that they wanted was the compost heated hot water heater, which in March, there is no green grass in Yukon, Missouri.
I had subsequently, just a few months ago, done an article on composting and making a compost water heater, and the compost pile was 12 foot in diameter and 10 feet tall. That would
be God, you could put your pot still in that.
You could. But at any rate, you'd get to 150 degrees quite easily.
Oh, yeah. And if you get the right blend of material in it, it's easy to get it up to 175, 180.
And this particular one was based on longevity, and it was Mr. Payne, the French.
Oh, Louis Payne, the French guy?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. French guy. His was nothing more than straw and sawdust.
Yeah.
And
green sawdust.
Green sawdust. And that green sawdust and straw with just a little bit of a starter poo was enough to keep that thing going for 18 months.
Oh, well, see, and there was a container within the compost pile, so he got heat, hot water, methane.
Mm-hmm.
He ran his little truck off methane, his kitchen appliances and heat off methane.
Wow. It's, well,
Payne. Louis Payne and the guy in England, Bates, are probably, and Al Rutan of the U.S., are probably the three premier people in home biogas generation.
And I'm trying to figure out, too, as long as we're on a tangent, why are we not all using absorption chillers?
Well, in this part of the country, the humidity, I don't think, would keep them working well. Now, like when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, zero humidity. They work great there, but
well, no. The absorption chiller is the one it's the absorption cycle based on ammonia.
Okay,
you know, and all it takes is essentially a candle flame.
Oh yeah, you're talking about the Dometic heat refrigerators.
Yeah, yeah. Dometic is the premier. My goodness, I mean this. We had
it's water and ammonia and hydrogen gas. It's
water and ammonia and water. And ammonia is really all that's in them now. There's no hydrogen in it, and it's whenever the ammonia splits out of the water is when you get the cooling effect.
Yep.
And that's driven by nothing more than a flame the size of a candle or directly from solar power.
Yeah.
We have a federal building down here in Carbondale, Illinois, that was built with a set of solar panels on the roof, they have this 20-ton absorption chiller. That was their cooling system for the building. I don't know if it's still working or not. Somebody from Carbondale, please call in and let us know. Call in, just let us know whether or not that sucker's still working.
Yeah, and the phone number to call in is...
I was going to say, email Don. Don email. At owlcreekcassette.com.
Yeah, let me know about that absorption chiller in Carbondale.
So anyway, you two could talk about this. I've seen the two of you get together and
at
talk.
At least start a fire on Main or Second Street out here.
I've got photos to prove it.
We have photographs to prove it. That's right. We started our own fire on a 2x4.
You are dangerous and also the two people I want to be around in a crisis. And Amanda's nodding her head yes, in total agreement of both those assessments.
When they came up to and parked here, I had to not come out and greet them, but I had to go see the treasures that Keith had collected
in the last 2 hours.
In the last 2 hours. He's got a 1960s Wisconsin single-cylinder horizontal shaft, 7.5 horsepower motor sitting in the back of his
just
truck.
Just for good measure, just in case?
Just because.
Well, you know, this engine is old enough to where, now I'm going to go out.
It's old enough to vote.
Yeah. I'm going to go out kind of left field here because I'm not a prepper. I'm cheap. But it's a points ignition engine. So the people I know who like to come and have coffee with me in the mornings and tell me how the world's going in because of nuclear exchanges or EMPs or mass corona eruptions, hey, you know, my little Clinton will just keep on running, 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 like the little pink bunny.
Right. And Wisconsin as well. Uh-huh. But it's a really cool motor. If you need to power a generator, that's it.
You're ready.
Built like a brick. Crapper. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing, they were strong motors.
It's really a two-person lift.
Yeah. And it was too big to use as a go-kart motor whenever I was a kid because it would cause the front wheels to come up.
Willy bars.
Gotcha. Now, back to being not a prepper, but being cheap and frugal and thrifty, which makes you find those things and keep them. Tell us more about your experience on Doomsday Preppers.
So, yeah, we were back and forth for about 3 weeks. Yeah, I didn't say anything to Amanda about it. And then she come in from work one evening, and I was sitting there kind of drumming my fingers. She said, "What's up?" I said, "How would you like to be on a TV show?" She said, "What?" I said, "Doomsday Preppers." "Oh, you're pulling my leg." "Actually, you know, I have both hands here on the table." No. So I still had the laptop. Turned it around where the screen was up. I said, "There's the contract right there." And so she read it, and, you know, and she says, "Well, if you want to do it, well, you know, you're going to be involved in it, too."
So this girl that was an indoor girl, you're now reeling her outside with you some more.
Yes. So in March it was, yeah, and it's still kind of cool down in Yukon, Missouri. And so we're out filming. She missed the first day, but she made up for it on the second and third day. And so we're out. So for, 45 hours of filming, they got 17 minutes on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
The hardest 3 days I've worked since I got out of the Army.
Yeah, well, we call her the Energizer Bunny.
Yes.
Or at least the Energizer Bunny killer.
Oh, well, no, she killed Big Bird.
Oh, she killed Bill. Oh, that's right.
And so, that needs some explaining.
So second day. There's a bow lay there, a case of Browning bow. It belonged to a friend that passed away, and it was just there. We got out of the building, out of the way. And the producer, what was her name, Timmy, said, "Oh, whose bow?" I said, "Mamba's. Mamba's not mine." "And do you shoot?" Amanda spoke up. "Well, I did when, you know, I was 15 years old at camp." And so Amanda shows up, you know, the first day, you know, bright and jewelry. What kind of purse was it you were wearing? Something
like that. Name brand,
yeah,
everything.
You know, everything. And so they're getting her out. And, of course, Amanda says, "Oh, yeah, I shot bow at camp when I was 15. So she just, like, jumped in with both feet. So Tommy's like, "Well, let's see you shoot." So don't have a lot of tools with me, so I'm trying to adjust the bow down to her and get it sighted in to suit her. So I'm standing behind her, and anybody that goes back and look at the picture, she'll see me there, my yellow ball cap backwards, my cigar behind my ear. I'm standing behind her, you know, adjust left, up, you know. Finally, and I forgot we were hot mic. Finally, I told her, I said, "Just go ahead and aim for the crotch." And she got Big Bird right between the eyes.
That's all you had was stuffed animals to shoot at the time. So that's why Big Bird. So sorry, kids.
Well, and it's interesting that she missed her mark quite seriously. But you shot again, didn't you? Okay.
Ollie the pig. There's a picture of Ollie the pig with three arrows sticking out of the stuffed pig from three different angles.
Well, that's cool.
Well, it may have been 17 minutes, but that experience is going to last you a lifetime. And we had such a good time talking about it. You wrote about it in the magazine, and it was neat to share what was going to happen and then the experience that it did happen. So readers can find that, too.
Yeah, I think that was another August issue.
August is a big month for you guys. So what else did you take away from that experience? Anything else that was-
Well, you know, I got offers for the next 2 years from other shows. I turned them down like, well, what was it, Naked and Afraid? No, sorry, you don't want to see me undressed. It would scar people. Alone, that's tempting, but nah, I think I'll pass. I don't know. There's a couple others. I turned them all down. But it was fun because Amanda came out and, yeah, she was a real trooper through all this. She had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so explaining everything to her there on live, hot mic and everything. And so she called herself a prepper in training during her interview. And I have not forgotten that.
Is she still in training?
She's
nodding her head yes.
I would move her from apprentice up to journeyman.
There you go. I like that. I like that term anyway. Now, you took a break from writing for us from November, and now you're going to get back into writing again. You've been really preoccupied with a lot of stuff on your own piece of property. You want to update our listeners a little bit on that, Keith?
November 5th of last year, we had a minor incident.
A conflagration.
Yes, yes. My house caught fire and burnt, and one end of it was just a total loss. And here's something I've told several people since then, you know. Yeah, the house was insured. Yeah, I hate it that that happened. November is such a bad month because it starts getting cold in Missouri in December. And this year, we had a really bad winter. We had something like 15 straight days below 32 degrees. And so I ended up having to live in the parts room in my shop. But I think the thing that hurt me the most, I never really paid attention to all the people that were members of the volunteer fire department until that day. Because everybody remembers MASH, right?
Mm-hmm.
The TV series, Hawkeye, and his little still there at the end of his cot. You know, the Pyrex.
Sure.
Yeah.
I reproduced that, and I had a working reproduction. One of the people that's on the volunteer fire department is the county judge. Even though my little still was not in the affected area of the house, it was still damaged beyond used.
Did it blow up? Is this what you're saying?
No, I think they stomped on it.
Oh, man.
But since then, I've been busy.
Doing their civic duty, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had a nice 3-gallon pot, Pyrex, you know, 3-gallon pot, had the rectifying column, you know. So, yeah, I could pull off about a quart and a half of 190 proof.
Wow.
For medicinal purposes only.
Of course.
And snake bite.
Yeah, and snake bite.
Well, and all these things that you've been telling us that you've done, living frugally, making something out of nothing, it really came to your aid.
Yes.
When you find now your house is gone. It's the dead of winter, and what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So you made do and created and repaired and lived to tell about it.
Yes, I think I got it figured out. I got about 8 more hours of work to do in the house, and that's just plumbing. Getting the plumbing ran in, everything hooked up, and that section of floor replaced where it runs through the wall into the kitchen and then ties into the run. The two bathrooms. Got about 8 more hours of work. And
for one person.
For one person.
Or 4 people.
Well, 4 people get in there, we'll probably be stepping on each other.
It's probably best you just do it by yourself.
2 people. Yeah, me and one other person, we can probably knock it out in 4 hours.
So cool. Has this given you any time to start a garden, or have you had been knee deep still in fixing the house?
I work for about 20 minutes. I got to sit down because hips and back, you know, that sort of thing. I'm sitting down. Oh, there's a shovel. Hey, I can dig up a little spot about the size of a serving platter right there. And so basically what I got going across is the city garden, going, you know, or the micro garden, starting at the front corner, southeast corner of the house, closest to the shop, and going all the way around and up the side of the dog pen and back. So I got tomatoes and some okra and garlic and I don't know, just whatever. Somebody, hey, Keith, you want some seeds? Sure. Let's go dig up a spot right here. And so, you know, squash, the whole 9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
Because now, during the year, you know, I like this because I'm totally into the Syrah way, so as close to it as I can get. because I told you I met Dr. Paul Kinnett and chauffeured him around. And then, so anybody that don't know Paul Kinnett, Google and look up fluoride and the bad stuff that fluoride does. You'll find Dr. Kinnett.
You'll be shocked, won't you?
Yes, you will be. And I never really paid that much attention to it. And then I got talking to him, and he gave me this book. He was even nice enough to autograph it and write some stuff in the front of it. So that's put up with all my, you know, treasured books. We got talking, and it was an eye-opener. So, but, yeah, so zero waste, frugality, it all goes together. Like I explained to him, you know.
What's your next article going to be on?
Well, you know, because I threw the idea at you a few weeks ago. I was thinking of a book. That's what we really need to do. And, you know, call it 52 Weeks to Self-Sufficiency.
I like that.
And I kind of what got broke down in my mind is 52 little weekly projects. And there's actually 13 months in the year.
Sure.
Romans goofed that up.
Right.
May it 12. But, you know.
As some of us recognize the month of soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go.
So you have 13 monthly projects, and you could go a little, you know, a little bit further and say, okay, some of them are a little bit more involved, have some quarterly projects, and maybe a two biennials and one annual project. And I think one of my longer-term projects that is I want to build from scratch with materials I have laying around a muzzle-loading rifle. Because my dear, loving wife is now being the apprentice prepper that she is.
Journeyman.
Prepper that she is. She brought me this piece of metal one day. She said, I found it in the parking lot at work. I don't know what it is. Thought you might could use it. I looked at it. I said, well, it's the metal backing off of this brake pad. Somebody's got braking problems.
Sometimes it just throws them out.
But I've hung it on the wall and left it laying on work tables, and it dawned on me a few weeks ago. That would make a great lock plate for a homemade flintlock rifle or a variation. And so before we start recording, talking about the history of locks, there was the match lock. Then there was the snap lock. Or no, wait a minute, I skipped one. The wheel lock. Then the snap lock, snap haunts lock, dog lock, flint lock, and cap lock. And that was the progression. And there's a couple of variations in between and along through there. But the snap lock is the easiest one to recreate with basically hand tools. And I've been studying that and black powder, you know, manufacturing black powder. I've learned a lot in the last few months. So I think the next thing will be I will make this locking mechanism. And Don says, oh, that'd be a great article.
We're waiting for it already. In fact, you've been talking about it before we went on air. You guys, like you said, we're talking about it in depth. And after a while, it kind of goes over my head. I try to hang on to it all. But I'm like, I'm going to have drawings. Well,
it's like the absorption chiller. You know, we need to talk about that in depth one day. So. Uh-huh.
And with me, they're drawings. I need drawings.
Oh, drawings are easy. All you need is paper and a little pencil and eraser, you know. And
off you go.
Off you go.
You draw the evaporator. You draw the generator. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think we're about
out of time.
We're over our 30 minutes, but
I'm sorry.
No, that's a. Have you ever come here that we didn't want to talk longer than 30 minutes?
Well, you know, just everybody that listens, if you want to hear more, you can call, but email Don.
And they can find you sometimes, since you don't live in Greenville. You live over in Missouri, but you said once in a while you're on radio there.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know if they can find you online. Some radio stations are online.
Oh, yeah, they stream because Amanda's found and listened to some of the shows.
Cool.
That would be 99.3 The Rooster.
In
Houston, Missouri.
Then there's also another way you can communicate with Keith. He's KF4TAP.
Yes, but you need to be proficient in Morse code because I hardly ever use voice.
You'll find him on about 40
meters, 40 about 7110 to 7125.
There you go. That's to the people that listen that understand ham radio, that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. 40 meters is your band, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's anything higher, I get nosebleeds.
All right. Well, me too.
Well, thanks for joining us. It's been good catching up, and we'll be glad to have you back on the pages of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Okay. Well, it'll take a little bit of time. Yeah, this one might be a two-part article. theory than, what do you call it, application.
You've been known to write two-parters. And three-parters.
Hey, y'all, thanks for joining us. And Keith, Amanda, thanks for coming in. You know, you're driving up here all the way from Yukon, Missouri.
Well, yeah, but see, this trip I actually came up from Alabama. So
Dad, you've been visiting your dad.
Dad had that surgery, so I was house sitting, dog sitting. Went to a family reunion while I was down there. Didn't know nobody. That's the story of Steph.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You back on.
Yeah, and you look to see whether or not they're wearing your shirt. You know. That's family.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, take care now.
Good night, folks.
Bye bye.